day three of our trying to get through a few psukim with Targum and Rashi and Unkelis. Okay, it's on the screen. Hopefully you can see that we're up to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, Vayavo, Yisro Chosid Moshe, Vanav Yisro Moshe, Yisro, the Chosid Moshe, his children, his wife. El Moshe, El Hamidbar, to the desert, Shahu Choyne Sham Har Olukim. To the desert where he was encamping opposite the mountain of Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Hey. Rashi says, El Hamidbar, Af Anu Yoidim Sheb Midbar Hoya. A mere star. Can you see this on the screen? Can you see what I'm putting on the screen? Do you see the Rashis?
Perfect, perfect.
Okay, good.
You're zooming in perfect. Unbelievable how good you're doing this.
Okay. El Hamidbar. Af Anu Yoidim, we know this story that he was in the desert. We're well aware that he was in, that Moshe was in the desert. There's no need for the Pasuk to tell us that Moshe was in the desert. And the only reason why he mentions the word desert is in order to give praise for Yisro. Diber HaKasif Shehoye Yoshe V'Chvoyde Shal Olam. Yisro was living in the lap of luxury. He was living in the United Emirates, right? And all the, he was living in the glorious wealth. Yet the Nodvoy Liba, his heart was uplifted, Lotseis El Hamidbar Mokoim Tohu, a place of desolation, Lashmoya Divrei Torah. This is the high praise, incredible high praise that Hashem is giving Yisro. Nodvoy Liba, okay, beautiful words. Nodvoy Liba, to go to a place of Bechvoid, from a place of Bechvoid Shel Olam, to a place of a Mokoim of Tohu. L'shmoya divrei Torah. These words of Rashi are very, very powerful. Let's see if we have the Targum. Targum post.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
After Kriyas Yamsuf,
yeah.
At what point did Yisrael leave Paroi? He left Paroi like Moshe, and who else? Who else was punished? So why did he go away?
Eoiv, there were three people that participated, but that was a very long time ago. That was, I don't know, you're right, there's a lot of history. I don't know the history, they're conflicting Midrashim, and I don't know. Obviously, Yisro had some connection to Paro, because Chazal tells us that Yisro was, when Paro wanted to enslave the Jewish people, he took counsel with Eoiv and Yisro. Yisro, he ran away. Eoiv was silent. Okay, so I don't know. It's a good question there. I don't know. Let's go on. Pasuk came to Targum. The Asa Yisro Chamui, the Moshe of Nohi, and his sons, the Itisei and his wife, Levas means to Moshe, Lemadbira, to the desert, to who Sharei Tamon. And Moshe was living. Tamon over there, Litura.
Are you moving the camera on the screen of the Chumash? No.
I have an upload. I use my fingers on the what's it called? The mouse pad.
Person.
Okay, whatever it is. So Tamar Lutura de Iskele Alohi Yikore de Hashem, to the mountain in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to reveal himself to the Iskele Alohi, Hashem revealed upon it Yikore de Hashem. The honor of Hashem. Now the words that he's using over here is not exactly literal, and we have to see over here how we're going to explain the Mefarshim. So now let's take the Mefarshim over here. Okay, the Torah. Ki ilu ksiv el har lekim. As if it says to the mountain of Hashem. The hamila, the word el shebekasav dimshech haskam lekai. Ein lechich me'atargum azir sheyishu bol yachamat in Torah. Simer Stark. He's actually touching upon your question. Do not bring any proof over here that Moshe, that he came to Moshe. We have a machleks in the Gemara. There are two opinions. Did Yisro come? Did this event take place after Matan Torah? And that would mean ein muktam u'muchar b'Torah. That although it is recorded, this event is recorded in the Torah before Matan Torah. The truth is, in chronology, it happened after Matan Torah. And some say no. Pshutukim Hashmo, the Pesukim are in order, this event took place before Matan Torah. Do not bring proof from this Pasuk that an event took place after Matan Torah, because the Pasuk says that Hashem appeared to the mountain. We're making mention over here of a mountain. upon which Hashem appeared. The mountain upon which Hashem appeared refers, of course, to the giving of the Torah. And if we're already specifying the mountain which Hashem appeared upon, it must then be that this event took place after Matan Torah. And especially the Targum really emphasizes this. See, Rashi doesn't say anything, but Rashi completely ignores this fact. Doesn't discuss what the means over here, El Hamidbar, the desert, Ashahu Choyne Sham, that he is choyne, that he isn't camping there, that Moshe isn't camping, Har, the mountain Ho Elokim. Now, what does that mean exactly? Har Ho Elokim, the mountain of Elokim. So the Targum, he really goes to town. The Targum says the Har Elokim means the mountain upon which Hashem revealed himself. Sharetamon is residing over there, Litura, opposite the mountain, the Iskili Alohi Yikorada Hashem. If this is not referring to Matan Torah, then what is it referring to? So he says over here, let's see what he says over here. Don't bring me a proof over here that the Targum wants to learn that this event took place after Matan Torah. Why? Aval, why Shari Gamla El Tirgin Kain Ayin Masha Kosav Sham. Okay, he's not explaining. I don't know the answer. Let's read, I'll tell you a suggestion in one moment. Yikara da Hashem, the honor of Hashem, Chesed Hamil Yikara. It does not say in the Pasuk honor. The Targum adds this word into the Pasuk. Hoysof Zuba Parsh Matan Torah, he ra kishayas kira kosuf shem hu Elokim. That's very interesting. That the Targum seems to be suggesting, the Ma'at, sorry, this parish, that the only time the Targum adds in the word Yikara, he embellishes the text with the word Yikara, the honor, is only when we use the shem Elokim. When we use the shem Yutke Vavke, then there is no embellishment of honor. Avol kasher yaske Hashem HaMiyuchud, which is the shem of Yutke Vavke, lo hoisif hamilim yikara, o memra, or the word, v'zeh mevur b'mefurish b'mish sheyaskil divareinu. Who's the one who says this? The Ramban. Okay, he's quoting the Ramban. Okay, I never knew the Ramban. This is a tremendous chiddush, is that the Targum Unkelus, the Ramban. Everyone is obviously very intrigued with Unkelus. Unkelus came way before. Unkelus was what Chazal say was given at Sinai. It was given at Sinai, and it was known by all of the Jewish people. And for some reason, it was forgotten. And Unkelus Hager, Unkelus who lived during the time of the Tanoim, he lived during the time of the tail end of the Beis Hamikdash. He went and he restored it. People were beginning to forget. People were beginning to become lax in knowing exactly what the Targum says. What is the Targum? And he restored it, and that's why it's called after his name, even though he's not the one who composed it. It was given to us. We have a tradition, Misinai. Now he says over here something very, the Ramban is very intrigued with the Targum, what Rashi is, and Rashi also quotes him very often. And the Ramban says something very, very fascinating, we just read, that the only time the Targum will embellish the Shem Hashem with the word of Yikara, the honor of Hashem, or Memra, the words of Hashem, is only when we are referring to the name of Elokim. But when we refer to the name Yudke Vavke, the ordinary Shem Hashem, the four-letter name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, then there is never an embellishment. And that's something very curious. Why is that so? Why is that so? So it can very well, I think on a very simple level, is the word Elokim is not only in reference to Hashem. Sometimes Elokim can be used in reference to Avodah Zarah. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim. Sometimes Elohim refers to a court of law. It does not necessarily refer to Hashem. So sometimes the Targum, he needs to embellish the Shem Elokim to indicate that this Elokim indeed refers to Hashem. Okay, that's a very simple explanation as why it would be necessary for the Targum to do something like this. Or you could say that Elokim, well, let's look at another approach. Elokim is Midas Hadin. It represents harshness. And we know Chazal say, there's a Chazal that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises Midas Hadin, his name is I don't know the right word, I don't want to say the wrong word, is glorified. I don't think that's the right word in this context, but his name is magnified. There is a revelation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind and good and generous to us, then his name is not magnified to the same degree, because it's human nature that when Hashem is kind and gracious and is good, we just take advantage. We accept all the blessing, and we thank Hashem. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We'll make a sudas hoda. But when Rachmana Litzlan is din, then people get very serious. Just think of very simple. If you go to a Chanukah Sabayis, just think of very simple. So a person moves into a new house or an institution, they make a celebration to celebrate a new building. When you go to a celebration of a new rabbi, a hachtorah, an installation of someone into a very important position, it's a nice ceremony. Now compare that to a memorial ceremony, to memorialize the Holocaust, to memorialize a tragedy, Rachmana Litzlan. Go to an event to memorialize the victims of 9/11. It's a different type of celebration. People are very solemn, it's quiet. There's a yiras harayimus. There's a certain, the attitude is much more serious. And Hashem's name, when you acknowledge that a tragedy has happened and there's Hashem has shown that he is the Dayan, he is the judge, and he exercises punishment and justice and din, midas adin, then indeed Hashem's name is magnified much, much more than when Hashem is kind and gracious. When Hashem is kind and gracious, so Baruch Hashem, you know, there's a lot of kavod shemayim. People are serving Hashem, they're davening, they're learning, they're doing mitzvahs, but the intensity is not the same. So when the Targum mentions Elokim, that's Midas Hadin, that demands that it be embellished with the word Yikara, the honor, or other expressions which indicate the intensity of the moment. Okay, so those are two different examples to explain this principle, but what the Ramban is telling us, a very beautiful, important Yisoid in Unkelus. He embellishes Elokim, but will never embellish the shame of Hashem.
Isn't Yukara a contrast, because you're saying embellish is with a memorial and Yukara is with a Hakara?
No, Yukara means Yukara. Okay, we like to translate the word Yukara to mean honor, but it means a lot more than that. Yukara means awe. Okay, awesome. Honor, it's not just honor, it's deeper than that. Tilin are called Yikar. La Yehudim Ha'isa Oira Simcha V'sasim V'ikar. V'ikar Elu HaTefillin. And what does it say about the Tefillin? V'rohu Kol Amei Ha'aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yadu Mimecha. This fear, there's awe. Okay, now I want to make a point over here. We always like here to go and try. We're very desperate to make Machlekes in this share between Rashi and Unkelus. Exactly what he says here on the bottom, perhaps we can twist and turn and say just the opposite. Rashi's always coming to make trouble for Unkelus. Unkelus translates the words, this is an old Machlekes in the Gemara, when did Matan Torah happen? No, wait, I have to take a step back. And this is a very important principle, which I actually was learning today about Ramses. Okay, today there's a really good new book, it's an old book about, yeah, maybe we'll spend time in one day, about trying to synchronize ancient Egyptian culture with the Zman of Matan, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. According to the secular account of when of Yitzias Mitzrayim took place, relative to our calculation, the Jewish calendar of when Yitzias Mitzrayim took place, we're off by about at least 200 years, or maybe even more, 400 years. There's a discrepancy between the calculation that the Ummah Yisraelim have for the history of Egypt, when Yitzias Mitzrayim likely occurred, versus our calendar, our calculation. And there's a significant difference. And someone put out a book not that long ago trying to show to reconcile the two the calculation of the secular calculation versus our calculation. And there, Derech Agav, it talks about Ramses. Ramses, as peace and as Ramses. And there's a Ramses today in Egypt. It's probably pronounced differently, not the way we pronounce it in Hebrew. And that Ramses is all part of the problem. I mean, that city of Ramses, when was it built? How can we match it up, synchronize it with our calculation? And in the process of this discussion, the Mechaber says a principle which is not his own, and he says that when the Torah mentions places in Tanakh, the names that the Torah gives those places are not necessarily the name they were called at that time. It's a name that the Torah applied to it, that it was first given to it, maybe even 500 years later. And the reason why the Torah refers to it by that name is just to identify the location. Now for us in the 21st century, it throws us off. In other words, he was saying there, this is just part of a big, big puzzle, but it's a very important principle and it really directly applies to Pashup Shad and this Pasuk here. And that is when the Torah says they built Es Pisoim V'Es Ramses. At the time when the Jewish people were enslaved and were building Pisoim and Ramses, there was no Pisoim and Ramses. The names of the cities could have been called Brooklyn and Boca Raton. If you were living there at that time, and you were part of the Jewish people during the time of the 210 years when they were in Mitzrayim, and Paro gave an order, the Jewish people have to be our slaves, they're going to build for me these two cities, Pisoim and Ramses. The names of the cities that they were building were Brooklyn and Boca Raton. That's it. The term Ramses did not exist. And then, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, moved on, Matan Torah, they came to Eretz Yisrael, and Egypt went on. Egypt, you know, life goes on. Egypt, they rebuilt, they were destroyed, they were humiliated, but they rebuilt. There were many dynasties. Each dynasty had kings, extremely complex. And at some point in time, later in history, they built a city called Pisoim and a city called Ramses. Happens to be the city of Pisoim and Ramses with the exact same location where Klal Yisrael built these storage facilities. So why then did the Torah write the word Pisoim and Ramses? Al Shem Ha'osid. In order to make it easy for us to identify the location. Okay, that's a very general principle. It's a very general thing I just said, which probably the way I said it doesn't make any sense. There's a lot more information that needs to be added to make sense of what I just said, to answer a very difficult question, which also I didn't explain because I don't know this anything. I don't know what I'm talking about. But take that idea, and that idea applies the same thing over here. It says over here, according to the Targum, you can be able to say Targum says that when it says Asher Choynesham Har Lukim, it refers to Har Sinai, the mountain which Hashem revealed Himself upon to Klal Yisrael. When did Yisro come? Yisro came before Matan Torah, in between the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. There were only 50 days. He came sometime during these 50 days. And why then is it called Asher Choy Nesham Har Elokim Al Shem He'osid? This is something which the Torah does, according to one Mahalach. Al Shem He'osid. He came, Klal Yisrael happened to be in the desert. We were encamping. We did not even know that this mountain would turn into the mountain called the Har Elokim. We didn't know that at that time. We every single day we traveled here, traveled there. There was always something going on. When all the dust settled, in hindsight, the mountain that Yisro came to greet Moshe happened to be, in hindsight, the Har HaElokim. Okay, and it's written Al Shem HaOsed. This is a very interesting principle. in the morning when we learn Navi, I always played around with you and try to say this idea in regard to Mashiach. Who is Mashiach? Who is Mashiach? What is Mashiach? What is Mashiach? Well, who is Mashiach? We will brainwash that Mashiach is. We're going to be sitting here, and all of a sudden we're gonna get a text or a WhatsApp or a telephone call or maybe it'll be a loudspeaker. Oh, Mashiach is here, and you'll see soon. You'll see on your screen or whatever, someone coming out of the sky on a white donkey, a very holy-looking person. Really, is that the way Mashiach? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know anything. In Kabbalah, he in the Kabbal. Or maybe Mashiach is something very different. And maybe, here's the clincher, this is the point, maybe we'll only understand who Mashiach is in hindsight, after the fact. It'll be a generation later. It'll be 70 years later. It'll be 100 years later. And we'll find ourselves living in a world that is a perfect world. They've discovered the cure for all diseases. Everyone has parnasa. Klal Yisrael is successful. They're serving Hashem. The Umos HaOlam are yearning to learn from Klal Yisrael how to serve Hashem. And we scratch our head and say, wait a minute, we're living now in time of Mashiach. How did this happen? I don't remember at any point in time someone coming out of the sky in a white donkey and blowing a shofar. I don't remember that. I don't recall. But yet we find ourselves living now at a time where the gar ze'ev and kesef, the wolf is living with the lamb. There's no wars. There's no disease. Everyone has parnasa. Klal Yisrael is dominant. We're building the Beis Hamikdash. Wait a minute. Where is Mashiach? When did Mashiach ever come? Oh, you know what? Let's study history. In hindsight, this fellow who did A, B, C, D, he was Mashiach. Who says Mashiach is something you're going to know about in advance? Maybe Mashiach will only be known to us in hindsight. That's not so far-fetched. Okay, because unfortunately, we live in a very comfortable world of make-believe where I don't mean to say that, but no one really knows anything about La'asalava, what's going to be. And we taught in kindergarten, you teach, how do you explain this to a child in kindergarten? You tell them, the way anyone here would talk to a child in kindergarten. Child in kindergarten, so you say, Mashiach's going to come, there's going to be a man, he's going to come on a horse, a beautiful man with a holy person with a long white beard. And he's going to come riding and he's going to save the world. Yeah, okay, that's how you explain it to a child. Problem is, we never grow up and we live with these very simplistic approaches to the most complex matters of this world. In this pasuk is just another example. If you want to tell me that Yisrael came before Matan Torah, why then is it called when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael 40 days later, whatever it was, 50 days later, and when Moshe put it all in writing, and it's really 40 years later, when Moshe finally put together the Torah and he gave it to Klal Yisrael on the day that he died, and he gave over what it said, oh, so now in hindsight, we can appreciate that when he wrote the story, but in actuality, when did Yisro come? He came before Matan Torah. Okay, that is what I think he means over here in the bottom, that don't bring a riot from this. That is the Pashut Pshat. But I want to suggest to you something a little more radical. Because since our goal over here is to show that Rashi is not a commentary, but Rashi is a super commentary, which super commentary means you're commenting on someone else's commentary. The primary commentary is Unkelus, and Rashi is really making Hagois. He's writing a sefer on Unkelus in a very clever way. And Rashi saw what Unkelus said. He saw these words of Unkelus, that the mountain, Asher Choyneh Shom Har Elokim, Har Elokim, what does that mean? The mountain of Elokim. So Rashi writes, saw these words. Oh, look at this. The midbara the who shari tamon, the Torah the iskeli aloiki yikora the Hashem. Woo, wow, scary stuff, right? Rashi saw this, and Rashi thoroughly disagreed with everything that I just told you about things are written al shem ha'osid. Rashi, we're going to suggest now this moment, wants to learn that the way it's recorded is the way it happened in real time. In other words, Pisum and Ramses, that's the name of the city it was called in the time of Mitzrayim, in the time when they were living in Egypt. When it says Har Elokim, it means that's what it was called at the time. So don't tell me, if you're going to tell me that Yisrael came before Matan Torah, if you're going to say that he came before Matan Torah, then this is impossible. You cannot use these terms. These terms are incorrect. And therefore, Rashi understood the Targum to learn that the Targum is taking sides and Yisroi came after Matan Torah. There's no way to say otherwise. If you're not going to say that the Torah is referring to places, Al Shem HaOsid, but the Torah is referring to places in real time, as it happened, then the only way you can understand the words of the Targum is that the Targum is taking sides and he learns Pshat in the story. Yisroi came to Moshe after Matan Torah. And that's why the Pasuk says, to the Midbar Shechoyne Shem Har Elokim, the mountain upon which Diskalei Elohi Yikar Hashem. And Rashi says, Uncleus, I thoroughly disagree with you. I hold that Yisroi came before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there's no revelation. So what then does it mean, Asher Choyne Shom Har Ho Elokim? So now look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Now Rashi's words really take a whole new meaning. Rashi says, El HaMidbar, the desert, Avnei Yodim Shom B'Midroch Yeh El L'B'Shilcha Shom Yisro Di Be'er HaKasav, Shom Yesh V'Chol Shol Olam, V'Nad V'Liba Lotzeis El HaMidbar, Mokoyim Tohu. There's no Yikorah De Hashem here. It is a place of utter desolation. Utter desolation. Mokoyim tohu. Mokoyim tohu is the meaning of Har Ho Elokim. I want to go so far to suggest, I mean, you can't say this, I mean, because we have the uncleus. Who says Ho Elokim here is Kodesh? I'm getting into a lot of trouble by saying this. When it says Har Ho Elokim, it means a mighty mountain. A mountain that can say, Yesh le'el yodi. There's power to my hand. Kel is one of the seven shemas of Hashem that's sacred. When a sofer writes the word kel in the Torah, he has to say, L'shem kedushas Hashem. And if he doesn't say, L'shem kedushas Hashem, the sefer Torah is pasul. But the word kel, when he comes to the pasuk, when Lavan said to Yaakov, Yesh le'el yodi, a sofer does not say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem, because that El is not Kodesh, it's Chol. When it says in the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Yiyah L'cho Elohim Acherim Alponai, the Sofer does not say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. That would be Apikursus. That Elohim is Chol, mundane. When it says in Parshas Mishpatim, Ad Ho Elohim Yavoi Shdvar. I've got the pasuk that when there's a dispute, there's a disagreement between two Jews over a matter, they shall go to court. Ad Ho Elohim Yavoi Shnehem, whatever it says there. And there it means a court, it's not sacred. So when the Sofer writes Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's not that word. When it says Elokim, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, that's Kodesh. There's no one that disagrees with that. Who says Har Ho Elokim here refers to Hashem?
Maybe. Rabbi,
yeah.
And how is referred the mountain which with the burning bush? That was known that is connected.
Oh, so you're saying a different side. So you want to you're saying something which indeed it says, and I think it says in this Medrash. Is Asher Huchoine Shamahar, you want to say that it's the Sneh. But the Sneh, but the Sneh, was it a mountain? It doesn't say anywhere that it was a mountain. Maybe you're right. Okay.
His mouth was there.
Okay, so it could be that's another approach. You want to suggest that and Asher Choyne Shemahar who are looking is in the past, it's going back to the time when Hashem revealed himself to Moshe, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineini, when Hashem revealed himself. Okay, that's an idea. That we have to work on that. Okay, but let's look at Rashi. Rashi here says it's a mokoim tohu. Elokim means, what's Elokim really mean? Elokim, it means a god, a false god. It means an authority. It can refer to Hashem. What is the common denominator of Elokim, meaning Hashem, meaning Avodah Zarah, power, meaning a Bezdin? It means it is an extreme. The all translations have in common the principle of an extreme. The Ribbono Shel Olam is where it all starts and ends. When a person believes in an idol, he gives up his life for it. When you go to the court to a judgment, you have no say. They are in control. You are nothing. They can do whatever they want in the court. And you have no choice but to obey. Elokim can mean a place that's tohu vavohu. It's a mountain where you are subject to its conditions, its environment. Okay, in Saudi Arabia, if you ever read these books that Mayor Appeldorf gave me and tells you about what Saudi Arabia, the desert, is like, you can't survive there a day. The Saudi, if your person goes today, you go try today to go today to the desert in Saudi Arabia. The Khaira, most people agree that somewhere in the Saudi Arabian desert is the place of Matan Torah. It's not Sinai next to Egypt that they have a tourist attraction where they'll give you rocks and you can. That's not very unlikely. That's Har Sinai. Har Sinai, it's much more likely it's somewhere in the desert in Saudi Arabia. And if you read the books and they describe to you the conditions of what it's like in the desert in Saudi Arabia, you can't even survive a day. When the wind picks up and the sand blows, you're finished. The heat is merciless. It is impossible to survive there. And 3 million people to survive in the desert, it's punishing there. It's called the Har HaElokim.
Rabbi, I found there Moses was grazing the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law, the minister of Midian, and he guided the sheep far into the wilderness, and he arrived at the mountain of God toward Horeb. So that is the same language.
Okay, very good. Okay, so very good. So
could be the past.
So there it can be the past because there the Hashem didn't speak to Moshe yet.
But there is how it's known, and now years later, Jethro came to the same place.
Same place. So why over there was it called the Har HaElokim?
Yeah.
So if Hashem revealed himself to Moshe for the first time, so what I'm trying to suggest, it fits. Elokim here does not necessarily mean God. It means a punishing environment where you have no control. You go live in Flatbush, so you have control. You go indoors, you go outdoors. If it gets too cold outdoors, you're in the desert. You're not in control. You're finished. It's oppressive to be in this location. Elokim means it's an extreme environment. Therefore, Rashi appears to be disagreeing. Rashi's super commentary is coming to thoroughly disagree with the Targum. Targum says, why is it called Har HaElokim? This is Kodesh. L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. It's the mountain which Hashem appeared upon. Rashi says, excuse me, I hold, it is my opinion, that the Torah does not refer to locations al shem he'osid. You want to say that? That's a whole different approach. Fine, but I don't go with that. I go with the approach that the Torah writes, the describes locations the way they were described in real time when the event happened. And the event, if Yisro came before Matan Torah, there's no way in the world the Torah would describe this place how it came. So therefore, obviously, Targum, what are you doing? You want to be controversial, and you want to say that that Yisro came after Matan Torah. Very good. Good for you. You're entitled to your opinion. In fact, there's a Tan in the Gemara that says just that. But I, Rashi, I don't go like that. I follow the opinion that Moshe came, Yisro came before Matan Torah. So what then does it mean, Hashem Harlokim? What does it mean? It means the desert, which he was encamping there, an oppressive, punishing, I don't have the right words, an environment that was Elokim, beyond your control. It's a place where you really cannot survive. It's above you, this place. You cannot adapt and live here long term in such an environment. And Rashi's translation of Har Ho'elokim is Amokoim Tohu. Desolation. That's a pretty extreme word. Mokom Tohu. You don't say that about if you get stuck on the highway. You don't call you in a Mokom Tohu. You're on the side of the highway. You call Mayor Stark. Mayor Stark is very good in finding you on the highway. Mayor Stark is a good driver. He knows the roads inside out. So Mokom Tohu. Targum didn't say that. Targum said it's the Mokom of the Har Ho'elokim. Machlekes Rashi and Unkelus. We clinched it here again. Okay, let's now go to the next. I think we finished. We did the whole pasuk over here. That was pasuk K, pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. Vayeva Moshe says to Moshe, "Mamish out of time." Let's run very very just very quickly one more pasuk very very quickly. Vayeva Moshe, "Ani I chesenchay Yisrael b'alecham. I'm your father in law, v'yishchan your wife, u'shneiva nechima." And her two children ima with her. Okay, your wife, Ushneva and her children ima. Remember yesterday we discussed this topic, or 2 days ago, why are we calling the children here? Are we calling them her children? Why not Moshe's children? Okay, Moshe's children. So we discussed because Moshe didn't raise them. He lost them. Shneva neha. Here again it says even more. Not just Shnei Vonecha, with her. Why is that necessary, that whole word? And yet, one thing important, in the previous pasuk, Uvanov. Here, in the previous pasuk, they are called Moshe's children. So, if you look over here, we're out of time, but if you look over here, Moshe's children are being described three different terms. There's first Voneha, her children. Then they're described as Bonov, his children. And then they're described as Boneha Ima. It's not just her children. She has custody. Ima. Three different ways to describe Moshe's children. Boneha, Bonov, Boneha ima. Each one is a different flavor. Who's describing them? Now let's look who's describing them. The first time it's being described by Yishma Yisro, it's Parif. This is Hashem's writing. Who's writing the Torah? Hashem. This is history. Hashem is writing. Hashem is saying they're called Shnei Voneha. The next pasuk, Vayevo Yisro, Chayseid Moshe. It's being described from the perspective of Yisro. Yisro is the Chesed Moshe. He comes, Uvanav Isha. Here we're putting them with Yisro. It seems more like he's coming, we're describing his Mesiras Nefesh to the desert. Here you get a sense that we're describing the children from the perspective of Yisro. And here, it seems that we're describing the children from the mother's perspective. Moshe, Ishtecha, your wife is here. And you know who she has with her? She has her children, Imo. Three perspectives. There is Yisro's perspective, there is Tzipora's perspective, and there is, who wrote this? Ma'yishma Yisro. You want to say that Moshe wrote this? I mean, Shechina Medaberes Tocha Groinai. Moshe Tziva Lanu Torah. Moshe gave us the Torah. Moshe wrote. So you want to say that this was Moshe's perspective? Or you want to say it's Hashem's perspective? Okay, whatever you want to say, but it's not Tzipora's perspective. When you look at a child, the way you define the child all depends on who's describing the child. I'll tell you a little joke. So-and-so in Yeshiva David in the morning, unfortunately, there's a new Ovel in town. Someone lost a relative. They lost a father. I'm not even sure they lost a father or mother, this person. And of course, you know, he wants to daven for the Omot every day. And unfortunately, this person cannot carry a tune. Not even, there's no tunes during the weekday, right? You don't have a nigun. But, you know, it doesn't go. Do I have to elaborate? It doesn't go. The nigun, the way he davens just doesn't settle very well in the ears of the audience that are listening. So everyone is on pins and everyone is, you know, on eggshells, how to basically tell him, you know, Hashem made you an Ovel, he didn't make you a Chazan. You're not exactly Shweki or Mordechai ben David reincarnated. You know, this is they were talking, I heard all the kind of, but it's a Zuchus. It's a, you know, you can't tell him it's a Zuchus to daven. But it's not a Zuchus. When you're torturing the audience, this is not a Zuchus. This is torture. This is not a zuchus. So I had to chime in my two cents and I said, you want to know is this a zuchus? Is it not a zuchus? It all depends who you ask. If you ask the audience, it's not a zuchus to be tortured in honor of someone else. But if you ask the Baal Tzvila, he'll say it's a zuchus. It's all a matter of perspective, of where you stand. In any event, we have over here the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. And look at this. In three psukim, we have three different perspectives. Hashem calls them her children. Yisro calls them Moshe's children. And Tzipora calls them V'yashmei v'onecho imo. They're not just my children. They're with me. They're on my team. I have custody. I have legal custody. Are out of time. We have to stop over here. But I say thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. All the best to all of you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, and thank you.
You will. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Okay. Where was Stark? Stark was by you, or he was on the phone?
No, he's in his house. He's in his
house. Oh, okay. I didn't see his number. iPhone was here.
I know what.
Penny, Pincus.
No, I think I know who it is. I think I know who it is, but I don't want to say.
It's not David. David dropped out.
Yeah, I will pull him up, David. We'll see what David.
He dropped out.
He's not so well, David. David has a lot of pain. He had surgery. The surgery seemed to go very well. But then after the surgery, I don't know, he has new pain now. I don't know.